A bipartisan investigation is announced on high-risk research. The House Republican majority prepares to be razor-thin. And Congress finally wraps up their work on fiscal year 2024 appropriations. For the week of March 25th, 2024, from Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., this is Health on the Hill, brought to you by Heart Health Strategies. I'm Matt Duckworth.
And avoid unnecessary delays. This morning, the House will move first on the funding package, and as soon as they send us a bill, the Senate will spring into action. To my colleagues on both sides, let's finish the job today. Let's avoid even a weekend shutdown. Let's finish the job of funding the government for the remainder of the fiscal year.
Kicking off this week's episode from Capitol Hill, where, late last week, Congress completed work on their fiscal year 2024 appropriations, passing a $1.2 trillion deal that includes funding for the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and five other spending bills. The House of Representatives passed the Further Consolidated Appropriations Act under suspension of the rules by a vote of 286 to 134. In the early hours of Saturday morning, the bill passed the Senate in a 74 to 24 vote. The measure increases HHS funding by $955 million over fiscal year 2023 for a total of $117.4 billion. The National Institutes of Health would receive a $300 million increase in base funding for a total of $48.6 billion. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention would receive $9.2 billion, a $4.5 million increase. The Advanced Research Projects Agency for Health, or ARPA-H, maintains its current $1.5 billion funding level. The legislation reauthorizes the President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, or PEPFAR, for 1 year, instead of the traditional five-year reauthorization. The PEPFAR reauthorization does not include the anti-abortion language pushed for by Republicans in the lengthy negotiations that caused the program's authorization to lapse in October. The spending package includes more than 100 pages of earmarked project funding requests by lawmakers. Shortly following the House passage of the government funding bill, Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, a Republican from Georgia, filed a motion to oust House Speaker Mike Johnson. It remains unclear whether her motion to vacate has the support of any additional House Republicans. Greene could demand a vote on the motion at any point the House is in session, and, if activated, a vote would have to be called within 2 legislative days. She's signaled that any effort to bring a Ukraine funding bill to the floor for a vote would cause her to act on her motion. The House and Senate currently stand in recess until the week of April 7th.
What a great example of civil discourse in their nation's capital. They need to see more of it. But I'm grateful that we have an opportunity to address the triple aim in healthcare that often is underutilized because of simply the way we score it. Healthcare innovation and technology can improve access, quality.
That was the voice of Representative Jody Arrington, a Republican from Texas who chairs the House Budget Committee, who is on the House floor speaking in support of the Preventive Health Savings Act. Last week, the House of Representatives passed the bill that would require the Congressional Budget Office, when requested by Congress, to consider whether legislative proposals would produce savings over a 30-year budget window instead of a 10-year budget window that's currently calculated in cost estimates. The bipartisan bill, introduced by Representatives Michael Burgess, a Republican from Texas, and Diana DeGette, a Democrat from Colorado, aims to ensure that the benefits of preventive care are sufficiently accounted for. Representative Burgess noted that he's worked on this legislation for over 12 years and that the bill, quote, will provide CBO with a mechanism to analyze the long-term benefits to preventive health care measures while ensuring that we make informed decisions on future health care policy, unquote. the bill was passed by voice vote. It remains unclear whether the legislation will be taken up for consideration by the Senate.
Next, we will advance over a dozen bipartisan pieces of legislation that will strengthen the health and well-being of the American people. Many of these bills reauthorize important programs that are due to expire September 30. This committee is doing its job to renew them in advance of that deadline through regular order.
Last week, the House Energy and Commerce Committee favorably reported out 17 health care bills. Some of those bills include the Charlotte Woodward Organ Transplant Discrimination Prevention Act, the Dr. Lorna Breen Healthcare Provider Protection Reauthorization Act, and the Screens for Cancer Act. To view a full list of bills marked up by the committee, you can access our weekly written policy brief on the news section of our website at www.hhs.com.
Protecting Americans from harmful medical debt, as you point out, and as your predecessors also pointed out, as a priority for this committee and for the CFPB. Earlier this year, Experian and Equifax and TransUnion announced they'd no longer include some forms of medical debt on consumer credit reports. But according to a recent report that your office released, it sounds like the changes announced by industry won't be as meaningful.
A group of Democrats in the Senate, led by Ohio Democrat Sherrod Brown, who you just heard, have sent a letter to the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, or CFPB, urging the agency to move forward with proposals to protect Americans from predatory medical debt collection practices. The letter reads, quote, "Medical debt does not reflect spending habits or help lenders predict risk. Instead, it is evidence of either health issues or a medical emergency." It goes on to say, "We ask the CFPB to take concrete steps towards tackling the problem surrounding medical debt through proposing rules to further protect patients' finances, dignity, and health." Unquote. The Bureau proposed in September of 2023 to remove medical debt from consumer credit reports. The senators also expressed support for eliminating deferred interest in medical credit products and prohibiting unfair, deceptive, or abusive practices that target patients who either hold medical debt or need financing for medical care. Co-signers beyond Brown, who chairs the Senate Banking, Housing, and Urban Affairs Committee, include Jack Reed from Rhode Island, Elizabeth Warren from Massachusetts, Tina Smith from Minnesota, Raphael Warnock from Georgia, John Fetterman from Pennsylvania, LaFonza Butler from California, Jeff Merkley from Oregon, Chris Murphy from Connecticut, and Ben Ray Lujan from New Mexico. Some bipartisan news today, where Senators Elizabeth Warren, a Democrat from Massachusetts, and Marco Rubio, a Republican from Florida, sent a letter last week to Pentagon leadership expressing concerns about the nation's reliance on foreign countries for essential medicines. The lawmakers cite a new report finding that more than one in four U.S.-designated essential medicines are considered very high risk by the military because they're dependent on key ingredients made in China or by unknown sources. Warren and Rubio ask for information about what drug shortages the Department of Defense has experienced and efforts to evaluate risks to the supply chain.
Opposing unanimous consent for any bills out of this committee until we get some help with retrieving, you know, taxpayers fund this research. We should be able to see the research that our government does that we funded. There is nothing classified about this, but they will not give it to us. We've discovered that at least one scientific project, which wasn't funded by DARPA, actually would have created a virus that looks a lot like what COVID-19 ended up looking like. We think they did that research even without the DARPA money, but we'd like to know if there's...
The Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee is launching a bipartisan investigation into the national security threats posed by high-risk biological research and technology in the United States and abroad. The panel plans to hold hearings and conduct government-wide oversight on high-risk life science research, biodefense, synthetic biology, biosafety and biosecurity lapses, early warning capabilities for emerging outbreaks or possible attacks, and the potential origins of the COVID-19 pandemic. Committee Chairman Gary Peters, a Democrat from Michigan, and Ranking Member Rand Paul, a Republican from Kentucky who you just heard, aim to identify measures to mitigate existing and emerging risks that could cause serious incidents, whether intentional, accidental, or natural. Winding down today, we're Senate Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee Chair Bernie Sanders, an independent from Vermont who caucuses with Senate Democrats, led a group of 12 Democrats in sending a letter to the Biden administration requesting that the White House prioritize equitable access to vaccines, tests, and treatments as part of ongoing negotiations of the pandemic accord at the World Health Organization. The lawmakers expressed support for the inclusion of pricing-related provisions to apply to any products developed with public funding during a pandemic, and the sharing of intellectual property and technology with other countries during future public health emergencies. The letter states, quote, a fairer, more equitable response to the next public health outbreak is in everyone's interest, unquote.
In a statement, he said, quote, after conversations with my family, I have made the decision to resign my position as a member of the House of Representatives for Wisconsin's 8th Congressional District, effective April 19th, 2024.
Final news today, where former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy's seat in the House of Representatives will remain vacant for another 2 months. California State Representative Vince Fong, a Republican, failed to receive 50% of the vote in Tuesday's special election and will face a runoff election in May. In related news, Representative Kay Granger, a Republican from Texas, announced that she's stepping down as chair of the House Appropriations Committee. Granger has requested that the House GOP Steering Committee and Conference choose a new chair for the remainder of the 118th Congress. Representative Tom Cole, a Republican from Oklahoma who currently serves as the chair of the House Rules Committee, has said he's seeking to replace Granger as the next committee chair. Reports also indicate that Representative Robert Adderholt, a Republican from Alabama, who currently serves as the Appropriations Subcommittee Chair on Labor, Health and Human Services, Education, and Related Agencies, is also expected to run for the position. Representative Granger will remain on the committee as Chair Emeritus. Finally, Representative Mike Gallagher, a Republican from Wisconsin, plans to resign from Congress effective April 19th. Gallagher had previously announced that he would not be seeking re-election in November, but his decision to leave the chamber before his term is up further shrinks Republicans' already narrow majority in the House. A running list of members of Congress who are retiring or seeking other office can be found in our weekly written policy briefing on the news page of our website at www.hhs.com. Thanks again for tuning into this week's episode of Health on the Hill, brought to you by Heart Health Strategies. For more information on this week's healthcare happenings in the administration and on Capitol Hill, you can visit our website at hhs.com and click on the news section at the top of the page. You can subscribe anywhere you get your podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and SoundCloud. Did we miss a story you wanted to hear this week? If so, email me at mduckworth@hhs.com, and we may include it in our next episode. Have a great week, and stay healthy.